Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the Lord that he goes with us through the fire. Amen. And do you remember the testimony that many of you may have, maybe it just slipped past you? Sister Lisa Whitaker testified this past week about how Shiree had a test and they found no cancer. No cancer. That maybe that slipped by you, but you know, amen, I think that's a miracle. I think that's the hand of God touching her. Amen. You know, when we go through the fire, and the Lord, you have sometimes, yes, there's, just because we have the Lord with us, don't mean that there won't be surgery, don't mean that there won't be sickness, don't mean that there won't be troubles in our life, but he will go with us through the fire, right? Amen. He said that it would not be kindled upon us. The waters would not overflow us. Amen. But I thank the Lord that he's with us and he's got his hand upon us today, right? Amen. Look with me tonight to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. I'm going to read one verse to you here, and then we'll probably look to a couple of different places. The book of Luke, chapter 9, and verse 62 is where we'll read. The book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Many times we read this verse, we think about backsliding, right? Think about the backslider. Man has his hand to the plow and look back. He didn't say the man gave up farming. He just said he looked back. You know that? Notice that? Didn't say that he sold his oxen, sold his plow, gave up farming. That's not what that didn't say that. All he did was look back. Look back. I want to talk to us tonight. The look that kills. The look that kills. I know maybe some people may have given you a look that could kill. Right? You ever received one of those before? A look that, any of you men ever received one from your wife? A look that could kill? Sure. Well, we want to talk about the look that kills. There's something, when we read this verse, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow. No man that started out in this labor, in this endeavor. And he uses the illustration or the item of a plow. And we know that it's the intention of every man, every farmer that's running a plow, is his intention is to plow a straight furrow. That it would be straight. These plows of that time that were pulled by oxen were not like the plows that we have today that's pulled by John Deere. These things required a lot of effort and a lot of strength. It required the weight of the farmer leaning upon the handles of the plow to make that plow dig deep into the earth to turn over that earth. And it required all of his strength being placed upon those handles and pushing down. The ox pulled it along, but that man had to put his weight upon that in order for that to push that blade down in the ground to turn over those lines. Have you ever tried to mow a straight line? I'm sure those of you that mowed out the camp or anything, if you try to mow a straight line, try to mow the ball field, start one side and try to go clear across the ball field in a straight line. You'll be surprised how straight you can get it, but you won't get it straight if you take one moment to look over your shoulder. Well, it's funny because when you get to the far end and you look back, you can see the places where you took your mind off of the mark or off of what you was doing. They become so obvious and it becomes so clear when you can see the places. And so when we think about these farmers that's plowing, they had an intention to plow that as a straight furrow. And many times what they would do is they'd pick out some mark across the field from them, and they would keep their eye upon that, and they would look ahead, and they would keep their weight on, and they would keep it directed towards that one mark across the field. And that was their way of keeping a straight furrow. But what Jesus is saying, no man having taken his hand to the plow and looking back, they're referring to those that would look over their shoulder to see what progress they had made, or looking back over their shoulder to see where they have come from. And by looking back, he says they are not fit. Well, those two words, they're not fit. Not fit for the kingdom of God. Man, them words there, those words right there, if he looks back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. Not fit. Not suited for, not disposed to be a part of. You will not fit in. You know what it is to fit in? You ever feel like you didn't fit in? Sure. Right. Have you ever been somewhere as a Christian and felt like you didn't fit in? Sure. You feel a little odd, feel a little bit out of place? What the Lord is saying, you know what? Those that have turned and looked back, they are not fit for the kingdom of God. That looking back disqualifies them. That looking back mars them as a child of God. The looking back, and the words that come to my mind are those three little words: remember Lot's wife. Just a short little verse in the book of Luke chapter 16 that says, remember Lot's wife. Just three little words that stuck in there, but boy, what a testimony and what a message that is in three little words. Remember Lot's wife. What was the problem with Lot's wife? She looked back. She looked back. She turned and she made one more look back to Sodom and Gomorrah. When I'm thinking about this man that's looking back and the man that looks back to the past, I'm thinking of those that have started out living for God and are trying to serve the Lord, but you have looked back to the things that you have left behind. Or you say, well, maybe I've not looked back to the sin. Not that you've gone back into sin. That's not what he said, but to look back at the sin, to look back at where you've come from. To even take a moment to dwell on those things of the past. You know, the Bible tells us that the dead, that they were not even allowed to touch the dead man. They were not ever allowed to go and to touch a dead body, or it would make them unclean. But then the Bible also tells us that we who are dead in our trespasses and sin, that we have left it, that we become a new creature. Amen. The old man is dead and we are alive in Jesus Christ. But when we go back and we touch the dead man, and when I refer to touching the dead man, I'm referring to our past before we met God, before we went into sin. When we touch the dead man, we pollute ourselves once again. There is no room to look back. There is no room to look back at the things that God has brought us from, not even to dwell on them for one moment. You know, when you think of a look, just a look, man, you can look at something. And then you can look at something. I always got tickled at my kids because did your kids ever stare? You'd be sitting in a restaurant and you look over and your child is like, got this, I mean, they're just looking at somebody. You're thinking, man, I'm afraid those people are going to come over here. What are you staring at? That's a look. But then you can also just take a look. How many of you, when you pull up to a stop sign, look both ways? I try to. You probably try to do it as you're rolling through. Coming down 25th Street, right? As you're rolling through those stop signs, you think, why in the world? Man, that new one on Rhodey, Brother Larry, I'll tell you what, I have blown through that one so many times. I'm not used to it yet, and I just, boom, and I'm hitting the brakes about halfway through there, and I'm thinking, whoops, I'm glad nothing was coming there. You know, when you stop to look at a stop sign, you look both ways, don't you? You look both ways, but how long do you sit there and look? Do you get out of the car? Look down the road? Do you get out of the car and get out your binoculars and look down each way, make sure it's all clear before you cross? No, usually what you do is you just take a look, and then you take a look the other way, and you proceed on. It's not a stare. It's not look. It's not an intent glare upon what is on the distance there, but all it is a glance, a look. Man, if a man would look back, just the slightest little look. Sometimes we feel like, amen, that maybe there is something in our past, something to look at. There is nothing there that should make us look backward in our life. Nothing, there is nothing to look at. When we leave a life of sin to follow Christ, looking back on the past is to tell us, it tells us something, that there is still a little something in our heart that we have not yet wanted to give up. Something slightly in our heart that we have not yet totally wanted to surrender to God. The first look is a case that is inconsiderate impulse. It's just something that we just, without consideration, just on an impulse, we look back. Just without really thinking, we just kind of look back at the past. Just a glance, not really staring it down, but just a simple look to the past. Just a simple look at what maybe we used to have, where we used to be, what we used to belong to. But that simple little glance or that simple impulse, it turns into a conflict. It turns into a conflict of your duties, because now your heart is torn. Now your heart is torn because now you look and you see the past, and now you look at where you're at and you're torn between these two places. And then thirdly, there's a divided mind, because now you can't make a decision on where you want to dwell. There is a danger in the look that kills. To entertain for one moment the past, to entertain or to think for one moment about where God has brought us from, and to think back to those things and to look at those things with any desire in our heart. Amen. And I'm not talking about thanking God for where He's brought us from. I believe we ought to give God thanks for where He brought us from. But to look back at those things with a desire in our heart, amen, is to look back over our shoulder. It's a look that kills. A look that kills. Let me tell you, that look is a look that deceives. When Lot opened his eyes and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what he looked at? He saw well-watered plains. He looked and he saw the well-watered plains, and he probably thought of how this was going to be a successful move. He probably felt like this was going to be for his benefit. He saw the well-watered plains, and those well-watered plains, he saw dollar signs rising up out of the grass. He saw success, and the thing that he did not look at and the thing that he did not think about is that Sodom and Gomorrah lied out there in the distance, amen, and that he was going closer and closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a look that deceived him. It was a look that deceived him, and we find him pitching his tent towards Sodom. He's pitching his tent in that direction, and Lot chose, amen, the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is a look that deceives. Satan is so good at making us be deceived to think that the things that he shows us and the things that we look at is enticing to us, but it will bring destruction to our life as well. Just a simple little look. The simple look. To look at the things of this world for just one moment puts a doubt in your heart. Maybe Satan will tell you, you know what, there's really no problem here. Maybe Satan will tell you, this is not real, this is not gonna hurt you, this is not gonna harm you. Just one look. That's the look of deception. If Lot would have looked up just a little farther, he could have saw the dangers of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you look at what God tried to do, God many times tried to deliver Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah.
If you read the story, how Abraham had to come and rescue him and deliver him from the bands of the kings that had come upon Sodom and Gomorrah and had carried off Lot and his family. And Abraham went and brought them back again and delivered them again. Let me tell you, God's a merciful God. But once Lot made that look towards Sodom and Gomorrah, it got in his heart. It got in his heart, and then we find him in the gates of the city, and then we find him in the city, and then we find him being his own thinking and his own mind being polluted with the thoughts of Sodom and Gomorrah and the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you look at where Lot ended up. He paid a high price. He never intended to pay that. Lot, when he went with a rich man, but when he left a poor man. See, that look is a look of deception.
Yes, it is.
And a look that deceives.
Right.
What about the look of a destination? You see, sometimes when we don't see how far it's going to take us and where it's going to take us. The look of a destination. See, sometimes we don't realize where it's going to end up. The Bible tells us of David going up on the rooftop. And remember, while they're off in war, and David goes to the rooftop and he looks and he sees Bathsheba on a rooftop bathing. It was a look. It was just a look, but it was a look that he did not realize how far that look was going to take him. He didn't realize that look was not only going to take him so far that he was going to commit adultery, but that look would take him so far that he would murder one of his own devoted soldiers and one of his most honorable captains. And when you read in the line of David's of honorable men and the men of valor, you will find that Uriah is mentioned there as one of David's honorable men and men of valor. And yet David, not realizing that the look would take him so far. Just looking at the things of this world, just with the look of enticement, the look of desire, brought David so far and brought him much lower than he ever thought he would go.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't realize how far, what the destination is.
No.
When you take the first look.
That's right.
At sin and of the world.
Amen.
But it's also a look of destruction. Because
yes,
the Bible tells us in the book of Joshua that Achan said, "When I saw among the spoils." When I saw it, I didn't realize the destruction it was going to bring. When I looked, I didn't realize how the destruction and all that it was going to cost. I didn't realize how much pain and suffering was going to go into one look. One look. I never realized how much pain and suffering could go into just one look. Look at what happened with Achan. He looked and he saw a wedge of gold, a wedge of silver, and a Babylonian garment. He took him and he buried him in his tent. 31 men died in the battle of Ai because of Achan's sin. 31 innocent men. 31 innocent men died in the attack on Ai because of Achan's sin. Just a look. Not only that, but when Achan's sin was found out, Achan died, his wife died, all of his children died, all of his descendants, his whole family died and was destroyed because of the look. But let's tell you what, the look is a look of destruction. You know, it matters a lot where you got your eyes, where you're looking at, right?
It
makes a difference. You ever been driving down the interstate? Ever doing that? We was talking about this when we was out in Colorado about Dad. When we was out driving up in the mountains, Dad was enjoying the beautiful scenery. Enjoying that beautiful scenery and looking at those mountains. What he didn't see was that man that had up standing in the construction with that sign. Didn't see that man standing there. Dad's enjoying the beautiful mountains. Finally, that man starts doing one of these routines, you know, moving that sign a little bit, trying to get Dad to see it. Next thing we know, the guy's got the sign.
I mean, he was waving us down till Dad saw it. Wow. Sometimes we don't realize when we're looking at the wrong thing, right? Looking at the wrong thing. You can be driving down the interstate, and the next you'll be looking over at the field or the car on the side of the road or the house or the building or something that's happened on the side. And the next thing you know, you're on those rumble strips on the side of the highway and your wife's yelling at you, "Get on the road!" You didn't mean to go over there, but the look is what drew you over there.
Sure.
The look is what has drawn you over there. You got to be careful of the look.
Amen.
It's where we're looking that creates a problem in our life. It's what we're looking at that brings destruction. It's what we're looking at that takes us to where we don't want to go or where we want to go.
Amen. That's right.
Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It's what Paul said. But in my mind, I'm thinking Demas forsook him because he was looking at the world. He was looking at the world.
Amen.
He didn't get his eyes off of the world, and it cost him. Demas hath forsaken me.
Amen.
I don't think that's what he intended to do until he got his eyes on the world.
No.
What's the Bible tell? But you know, it's a look that can kill. But I'm going to finish up telling you there's a look that heals as well. A look that heals. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. And you know, sometimes what the problem is, we're getting our eyes off of Jesus. Man, if you get them on somebody else, you're gonna mess up. You get them on the world, you're in trouble. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. If you, when you read that verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, you read it right there in verse 2, where he says, looking on Jesus, but then right there it says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All of those that have gone before us, all those heroes of the faith, all those great cloud of witnesses. But that's not what we're supposed to be looking at. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't get caught up on everybody else, but look to Jesus. Keep your eyes upon him. Get your eyes upon Christ. That is the look that we have to have. We have to keep our eyes set upon him. Look on Jesus. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about what others are doing in the world. Don't try to figure out why others are going into the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Man, you know what? When the children of Israel, they murmured against God, they sinned against God, and God sent the serpents in that bit them. And they were dying, and it was a horrible time for the children of Israel. But God had mercy upon the children of Israel, and he told Moses, said, to build a brazen serpent, put it upon the pole, and to set it up there. And when they would look to that serpent and looked and put their eyes upon it, they could be healed of the venom that was in their life, flowing through their bloodstream, that venom that would destroy them. They could have healing from it, and they would be saved from it. Amen. And I think then we look when we get into the New Testament, the Bible says, Jesus speaking says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto. Let me tell you, there is a look that we have to look upon Jesus. Don't get your eyes upon everything else. That's not what is going to bring healing to your life. But you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Keep looking at him. It's the only look that will heal.
Amen.
Only look that heals.
Yes, it is.
I think of one other verse in the book of Psalms. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. I tell you, we've looked to the world and we keep our eyes on the world, and it won't be long we'll be in the world.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. And I believe that God will bring you all the way through. The danger is in looking back. I'm not talking about going back. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the look. Just the look that will kill. You got to be careful, because so many times we feel like that the look isn't going to hurt us, but the look will eventually kill you. It does matter what you're looking at.
Yes, it does.
where you're going to end up. Satan will deceive you. Satan will try to destroy you. Amen. Get your eyes on Jesus. Would you stand with me tonight?